At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to the Evangelical Dark Web. Tonight, we're going to be discussing and exposing evangelicals for Harris, which is a, I would say, prominent organization that's trying to subvert the evangelical voting bloc with liberal ideology. So I do believe that's worth a further exposure, and we're going to get into that tonight. Been sitting on a lot of my notes on this for a while, and some clips have surfaced, so we're going to go through some of those tonight. How are you, Anthony?
All is well.
Okay, so I do want to first start off by saying Winning Not Winsome is out, and you can get yours over at Amazon in the description below. It is available on Kindle for Amazon. The pre-order for paperback comes out next month, but if you're really that eager, evangelicaldarkweb.org/join our Patreon-like system. Our Zealot class and above get a free paperback. And I'll sign it, too, if I'm sending it out. I've already sent out the first batch today, so I'm happy to send out more. I got enough for everyone who signs up, unless you all sign up, and then I'll just have good problems. So give me some good problems. I could use some good problems because today's not been a very kind day to me. So anyway, that's exactly why we're going to talk about evangelicals for Harris, because, you know, what is worse than that, I guess? A lot of cringe going on here. So I am going to pull it up and we're going to share kind of just an overview of this organization. This is an article I wrote on August 11th. So this is a little bit old, but it is still valuable because this was published around the time that the speaker list was announced. I didn't do a video on it at the time. I believe this came out on a Sunday. So yeah, I don't do videos on Sundays. So with that said, we have a massive speaker lineup, and I did do a breakdown of who each person is. So I'm just going to, you know, this is the graphic. This graphic is a little dated, because they did change who would and would not be a speaker leading up to the event. So, and they added, I believe, a speaker that we're going to talk about tonight, which is Billy Graham's granddaughter, was also a speaker at this event. So, with that said, Akemene Uwan is the co-host of Truth's Table, a popular Black religious podcast. And that's their description of the show, by the way. I don't know how familiar you are with her, but she was the moderator for this event, Evangelicals for Harris, in their, you know, first ever event. So she's kind of a big deal, I would say. Not really my lane, not my swim lane, but I can recognize that she carries with her an audience. That's not the case with all these names. They don't all carry audiences with them. Patricia Ruiz Cantu is a Democrat activist. She is more of a behind-the-scenes figure. So, you know, where Uwan is like a major figure in the Black religious podcasting landscape. Ruiz Cantu is just an activist who's, you know, been in the ground game of, you know, liberal activism for a long time. So then we got Jamar Tisby, a famous critical race theorist. He's the author of The Color of Compromise and other woke books. This guy, you know, I guess is a, how would you describe him? Like, he's super woke, but
isn't his thing the standpoint of epistemology?
He's definitely one of those people. I don't know if he's like specifically known for it, but there's him, there's Kendi. I think he's more Christianized version of Kendi, might be a good way to put it. That's just,
but more access to SBC circles.
Yeah, a little bit more access to SBC circles.
Because odds are Uwan is not getting
no
SBC access.
No.
So this is Tisby's probably one of the more subversive names on this list. Probably the second most.
Really? So who would you put at the highest?
Dwight McKissick.
Ah, oh, come on, man.
Hey, he got called a good brother in good standing by the CBN.
Well, again, there's a reason why I disavowed the Conservative Baptist Network, because they suck at this.
I'm just saying that because of that alone, that would suggest that Dwight McKissick is more subversive and more to the SBC than Jamar Tisby.
Next on the list is Latasha Morrison, who's a race hustler, who's even spoken at Jenny Allen's IF gathering. So Jenny Allen, you know, throws a famous conference every year. It's kind of like a remote conference that churches host, and then they all like beam in to the main conference. Pretty innovative on that front, because she's been doing this for several years, and you know, a lot of liberal and woke pastors have made it through those ranks. Jenny Allen's pretty woke. Not a surprise that she has Latasha Morrison speak at her events. I do believe we have a clip from Latasha Morrison to discuss. Then we got Lisa Sharon Harper, is, you know, a theologically liberal author with pronouns and bio. She runs the Freedom Road, which is a company that conducts struggle sessions. I believe it's a for-profit effort. So Freedom Road, and their whole thing is about, we're going to host a struggle session for you. That's, what is it that we do? Let me just share this is their website. Freedom Road Consulting, Freedom Road Trainings. So these trainings are like the struggle sessions where they equip your community to become a part of the larger story of racial, economic, and environmental and cultural justice and healing. We offer customized 1-day, 2-day, and 3-day training packages on faith-rooted organizing, racial justice and environmental justice, image-based storytelling, social media for justice, and more. So then we got the Freedom Road Forum. From those who make decisions to those who lives will be shaped by them, we believe every voice matters. Our forums combine community education with custom-designed processes that unite disparate groups and lead diverse stakeholders towards common understanding, common commitments, and collective actions.
So, I mean, that literally is just saying we unite all the people against white people.
That definitely is what that means.
Because disparate groups is saying minorities or those on the margins.
Yeah, that definitely is what that appears to be saying. So she is and she's written for Christianity Today. And one of the things that is worth mentioning is that Christianity Today does seem like it is the most common denominator with Evangelicals for Harris. Then we got Sandra Von Opstel, is a female pastor and liberal activist. She's also an Enneagram enthusiast. So last year we talked about how Russell Moore did an Enneagram conference. Well, she was also at that same conference. So, no surprise, because the Enneagram, if you're interested in the Enneagram, there's a high likelihood that you are pretty liberal. I think that's pretty fair to say.
Yeah, let me just point out right now, I shake my head that a lot of like young Christian women, I'll use that loosely, claim that they're into the Enneagram and Myers-Briggs and all of that crap. So it's just a shake your head moment. And pastors, if your pastor needs like an issue to speak against women on as like maybe a trial balloon, the Enneagram might be a good place to start.
Yeah, that's good advice. Start with the Enneagram, see if it goes further. See how based you want to take it. Then we got Nelba Marquez Green, because Hispanics love doing dual last names, which, just saying, like, I'm not into that because, you know, as a guy, I want my wife to take my last name, not hyphenate it. But, you know, cultures. Is a Yale School of Public Health activist. So she's the Yale School of Public Health's official activist in residence. And she's also a therapist. Her activism has especially focused on gun control.
So a DEI hire, supporting a DEI hire candidate.
Well, she's also a therapist, which I think is its own category of cringe at this point. Now we have Dwight McKissick, one of the most outspoken liberal pastors in the Southern Baptist Convention. He has threatened to leave the denomination if the denomination were to condemn critical race theory. I believe he also did the same thing if the denomination passed the law amendment. And we were all at the time saying, send him packing. They did not send him packing. And has openly advocated for female pastors. He was quoted in the recent Christianity Today fluff piece on Kamala Harris. So Christianity Today ran a fluff piece highlighting the faith of Kamala Harris. And the faith of Kamala Harris does, it is a major point in the evangelicals for Harris. They're trying to frame her as a Christian. Specifically a Baptist, and as a Baptist, as something of a Baptist myself, can't really abide in that. She has no religiosity. She has no...
She's not even saying no creed but Christ. Well, let me just throw some names under the bus, but I mean, Redeem Zoomer was like praising the American Baptist Church USA this week, and he doesn't... Like, he's just like, yeah, they got all, you know, they got, they're a pretty conservative denomination and, you know, they're underrated. And this is the denomination that claims Kamala Harris, the American Baptist Church, USA, those Northern Baptists that disavowed their Southern Baptist friends.
Now, I'm pretty sure a Northern Baptist would go to a Bible church what it would be called, but you know.
But if you ever wonder what happened, what became of them, they became the denomination of Kamala Harris.
Another big name to focus on here is Jim Ball. And Jim Ball is a figure that goes back quite some time. Jim Ball was an environmental activist who spent years trying to subvert the evangelical resistance to climate change agenda via the Evangelical Environmental Network. Where he served as vice president. This organization worked closely with Christianity Today and the National Association of Evangelicals. And they were trying to target evangelicals to get them to buy into the climate change agenda. And this organization, at least according to Megan Basham, this is in chapter one of her book, the same chapter that goes after Gavin Ortland, by the way, and lightly, if I may add, a lot lighter than I would have. She points out that this is the first organization that used love your neighbor as a tagline for a liberal cause. So Jim Ball was a part of that. This guy's been around quite some time. This was 20 years ago. He was doing stuff like this. And he failed because of the valiant efforts of Cal Beisner. So credit where credit is due. I'll have to get Cal Beisner on for an interview about that because... That is contending for the faith right there. You got anything to add on Jim Ball?
No, I'm not. He's one of the ones I probably only learned about recently.
So there's something else that's very vital to note about Jim Ball, which I'm bearing the lead there here. Jim Ball is the founder of Evangelicals for Kamala Harris. So she's the founder... He's the founder of this organization. He's also the founder of Evangelicals for Biden. So he founded that organization and he founded this organization and he's going to run the same playbook. So I talked about Dwight McKissick. We talked about Dwight McKissick already, but I do want to go back to Dwight McKissick for a second here. Actually, no, let's just do the roundup and then we'll go through it all first. Next, we got Raymond Chang, not worthy of the name Raymond, and in league with a lot of other bad Changs out there, like Curtis Chang, who's part of another dark money organization. So Raymond Chang is a woke academic and president of the American Asian American Christian Collaborative. He's also written for Christianity Today. There's that organization keeps popping up. Amy Peeler has since dropped out of the webinar, so, you know, I didn't really go further into her. Joey Cochran is a liberal historian and feminist. After the Dobbs decision, he came out with a pro-abortion statement. There was a campaign to have him and other liberal professors at Christian colleges fired. After six semesters at Wheaton Wheaton College, which is supposed to be like a very prestigious evangelical university, even though it's not really evangelical.
I mean, it used to be liberal for a long time. Used to be Ed Stetzer's place.
It did. Cochran would be forced out due to the unwillingness to offer him full tenure. So Wheaton like strung this guy out a little. I guess they strung him out, but they didn't, you know, renew his contract or didn't want to give him better terms, I guess. But he does seemingly in part blame people like William Wolfe for why he's no longer at Wheaton College. He says that there was a campaign to get him fired, and he suggests in an article and in his own blog post that there, you know, that pressure to do that prevented him from being offered tenure and stuff like that.
So it was actually a successful cancellation.
Maybe. I mean, now he's off to Purdue. No. But I think it's more of a lateral career move. But maybe he can get tenure at Purdue is, I guess, the hope for him. But he's out of Wheaton. I guess that's good news for Wheaton. But the people at Wheaton, he alludes, per the indications, seem to align with them. So I wouldn't go to Wheaton ever. James Talarico is a state representative from Texas who called it unchristian to display the Ten Commandments in public schools. So can you believe that? Someone who claims to be a Christian does not want the Ten Commandments displayed. I don't get that. And then we have Claude Alexander, who's on the board of Christianity Today. There's that organization again. Also, InterVarsity, which is a very liberal publishing outlet. I believe they publish Single Gay Christian. So they publish some pretty gay books.
And we get a lot of dialogue these days about liberal publishers and which Christian publishers are not like woke and liberal and publishing gay stuff. And it's like, you know, New Christendom Press, for like a handful of examples that are very small names.
I mean, spoiler alert, I think on my next book, I want to partner with New Christendom Press. Because I don't know if you're familiar with the meme of like Drake looking down at something and then smiling at the next frame. But I feel that way. It's like Moscow, Idaho? Nah. Ogden, Utah? Yeah. So that's kind of where I'm at. Because Ogden, Utah is pretty based right now. It's pretty based this time of year. And this time of year is still technically white boy summer, but it's really based all times of year. Moscow, Idaho is mostly based in No Quarter November. So Claude Alexander on the board of Christianity Today and InterVarsity. He is the chairman of the board of trustees at Gordon Conwell Seminary, which is where Tim Keller went. And again, Tim Keller was a liberal when he graduated from Gordon Conwell Seminary. Just saying. He was always a liberal. He was always theologically liberal. And John Harris did a great video on that, by the way. I recommend that to everyone.
So, yeah, very, very good series.
And then Big Eve is all over this, supporting Kamala Harris. And this is, you know, the most frequent fingerprints are from Christianity Today, an organization led by Russell Moore and Timothy Dalrymple. Dalrymple. That sounds right. So, anyway, let's dive into some notes that I have here from the recordings. Dwight McKissick, it's worth noting that he's like, this is a direct quote from him. Voting for the best qualified candidate and the better person rather than voting strictly along party lines should be the guiding principle in determining who to vote for as president of the United States. And he goes on to basically say that Kamala Harris is that person. But here's the claim that he says that I just don't buy. I have voted overwhelmingly Republican in my adult life. Much of what Republicans said they believed in aligned with, and what I was taught as a child, as personal liberty, traditional family values, marriage between a man and a woman, fiscal responsibility, life begin at conception, and unborn life must be protected. I have seen in the Republican platform a commitment to ban abortion with a constitutional amendment. And he trails off from here, so I just pick up the quote. I'm very disappointed in their abandonment. I don't see any moral superiority of one party over the other, and therefore in this election, I voted for the better person and the best qualified candidate, Madam Vice President Kamala Harris. Now, again, I did not correct his grammar in that quote. Just saying.
I mean, yeah, the better person is the person that filleted Billy Brown and has absolutely no common sense. Comes across as like drunk or on drugs half the time.
So my theory on Kamala Harris is that she speaks like she's talking to kindergartners all the time because that's how people talk to her. So she just thinks that that is a normal way to talk to people.
I mean, I've heard the substance abuse rumors, let's just say.
What, she abuses substances?
Well, I mean, some people say drunk, others maybe Xanax. I don't know. Cocaine. Who knows? But I mean, I've heard that from someone I know or I met, and it's like, okay, I can kind of believe it.
Do you remember the episode of Arrested Development where the main character, Michael, goes on a date with like an adult mentally disabled person, but he doesn't realize that she's mentally disabled because she's British? And there's like, the joke is that there was enough of a language barrier there. So when she used terms, he just thought she was being, British and endearing, but it turns out that she was alluding to the fact that she was, kind of at a kindergartner level. That's kind of what Kamala Harris reminds me of.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
But do you believe that Dwight McKissick has voted Republican for most of his adult life?
No.
And then again, abandoned the Republican Party as soon as they adopt its most pro-life platform in its history?
Yeah. I mean, even dropping a lot of stuff. Again, a lot of Republicans made a big deal about the platform, which doesn't even matter. I mean, no one's going to read it.
No, it's too easy to read.
Well, that too, but
that's the problem.
I mean, again, they didn't follow through on the 2016 platform, if that's any consolation.
I feel like they followed through on a lot more than, the Chevron doctrine, the overturn of Roe v. Wade.
Which, again, all comes through the courts, which you need a president to appoint the judges.
So here's the thing that the Republican Party realizes in one area, and that's only the courts do they realize that it's a zero-sum game, and whoever wields the positions of power matters actually more. You know, it seems that Republicans don't realize that when it comes to governors or legislatures, but they understand that it matters who's in the courts because they make the decisions, and we need to infiltrate these positions of power. So it's kind of strange that we recognize this with the courts, but we don't recognize this with everywhere else. And somewhere along the lines, Donald Trump done messed up by choosing Amy Coney Barrett.
Again, but that's a perpetual Republican mistake. Got to pick the black guy to replace Thurgood Marshall, which worked out great with Clarence Thomas, but
it did.
he was probably the only decision in which that had actually worked out for the positive. I mean, Sandra Day O'Connor by Ronald Reagan.
That was terrible justice.
Very bad decision. I mean, Anthony Kennedy, I can kind of understand because that was the Robert Bork situation. So you lost a lot of political capital. So yeah, whatever.
It's a shame because he was a terrible justice as well.
He gave us gay marriage in Casey v. New York or Casey v. Pennsylvania, whichever the other abortion case at the Supreme Court. And obviously, Amy Coney Barrett was chosen because she's a woman to replace a woman.
Yeah, but she was They chose a Catholic woman to replace a Jewish woman.
And then, you know.
Oh, I think Kagan's also a Jewish woman, so. And but you notice in the most recent Supreme Court decision, it was all the men against all the women.
I didn't see what the breakdown
was. In the Arizona one?
The other than ACB flipped.
Well, yeah, but there's all.
Which but would, a 5-4 yeah, which would mean it was the other five Republican justices.
Yeah, so, but all the liberal bloc is all women.
Yeah.
Kagan, Ketanji.
I saw the recent number that was Ketanji spoke like 20,000 words more than the next highest justice.
So
that woman knows how to talk.
Apparently.
Probably not very quietly either.
So I don't believe Dwight McKissick has voted mostly Republican his entire adult life. I don't really believe that. No, at least not on a presidential level.
Keep in mind, I mean, if like a lot of the black church might talk about, oh, we vote the Bible, we vote the values of the Bible, and then they'll vote Democrat at the top of the ticket. And again, even if there's a ballot issue, you got all these states that have abortion ballots, Missouri, you'll have Florida, and again, in 2022, you had Michigan. And again, the black vote didn't split from the top of the ticket.
Historically, though, I will say this. They did vote against gay marriage.
Yeah, 10, well, that was literally 12 years ago.
That was not the case in Maryland, though.
So a lot of things did change.
As soon as Obama endorsed gay marriage, that was kind of it for black people voting against gay marriage. Let's talk about Jim Ball. So he's the founder of Evangelicals for Harris. He detailed how he's very confident in their ability to win this election, which I don't know. I don't believe that he's just feigning that confidence. I do believe that his confidence might be well placed. And he detailed how evangelicals for Biden successfully targeted Georgia and Michigan. So they targeted two states. They had all these resources, whatever dark money flooded into evangelicals for Biden. They focused on two states, Georgia and Michigan. I got to say, I respect the game.
I mean, yeah.
Where is the version of this on the Republican Party that, hey, we're creating these organizations that are just going to target a certain demographic in certain key states? Where is the game here?
Yeah, there's a lot of problems with the Republican Party, which, again, Trump is kind of trying to remedy that, but Trump can't pull up the ship by himself. And again, you're looking at these Senate races where the Republican candidates are trailing in the polls, despite Trump even being ahead, especially in Nevada. And the fact is, the GOP doesn't fund its own candidates. I mean, you got Sherrod Brown in Nevada, who's going to get absolutely trounced, and it's because he doesn't have any money.
Sherrod Brown is the
Ohio.
That's a senator out of Ohio. That's a Democrat.
Yeah. I think the guy's name is Brown. The Nevada candidate. The guy got his face blown off from an IED, and he's running for Senate in Nevada, but he's not going to get enough money to get across the finish line. And that's probably why he might not win. But yeah, a lot of these races, they're not going to back their own candidates. Then, of course, the GOP House under Mike Johnson has been a disaster. So that's not really going to be a tailwind to success. So, and then again, these ballot measures, a lot of these the pro-life activism is not very well done on a national level or even at the state level. I mean, you just don't have good personnel that know how to run politics like a machine in these pro-life organizations.
So I think that who do you think is the problem with this? Do you think it's the voter? You think the Republican voters are the problem for not putting their money where their mouth is? Do you think the organization's the problem? I know this part's true. The Republican Party at a national level gives money to the worst candidates. Actually, there are some exceptions. In 2018, they did a good job at devoting money where it was needed. They put a lot of chips in the Florida basket. Like, people want to talk about Trump being the reason why DeSantis is governor. No, the Republican Party actually invested in Florida in 2018. They put the lion's share of their money in Florida in 2018.
I'm pretty sure it was like well over $100 million was spent in that Senate. Oh, between both candidates in that Senate race.
The Democrats decided to put all their they put a disproportionate amount of money in Texas for Beto O'Rourke. So he wasted a lot of their money there.
Well, but they have that much more money to blow.
They, you know, they did have that much more money to blow, but not in Florida. The Republicans chose to outspend them in Florida and they won. So when there is a money, when the money is even, the Republicans can do a lot better.
Yeah, but you'll
the problem
like,
is the you'll Republicans get like a Tim,
you'll get like a Tim Scott on the ticket. He'll have like $40 million to run and just like kick his opponent's butt. Or even like Marco Rubio, who'll have like $70 million. Because, you know, the token minorities can raise money very well, but they're not willing to help out those other candidates that need the money.
Yes.
Particularly in Nevada. Alex Laxalt should have won that race in 2022. Had he had $10 million more. And I know I'm not saying like, yeah, $10 million is just chump change, but that would have almost been double what he had.
Yeah, and the Trump campaign is not doing a great job at spending money.
I think they are holding back their powder just because, you know, the off chance they have a third candidate to run against. There was reason to hold back your powder until it was absolutely 100% certain that you're running against Kamala. But yeah, they are doing a lot of spending in Pennsylvania, which they need Pennsylvania. That's a key state. Trump is investing himself personally in North Carolina recently.
Yeah, Pennsylvania is the white whale they need to capture. There's just no reason. If they lose Pennsylvania, it's pretty much game over. I'm just going to be real about that one. But I hate the fact that it looks like they could blow this thing. And it would be a blown election. But I still put the odds at Trump winning. I just do, but it shouldn't be this close. It shouldn't even feel this close. It should feel just as it did a few, you know, the other month when Biden was in the race. It didn't feel like he was going to win re-election. That's how it should feel with Kamala Harris. If you cannot win and just run the tables on white voters with a diversity hire candidate against a diversity hire candidate, you deserve to lose. He should be running the tables with working class whites.
No, I mean, I think that's there. It's just obviously, you know, always got to remember that they are successfully replacing Americans. And, you know, it's hard to get around the fact that, you know, when you have a younger generation, Gen Z, that's only 48% or 52% white. That is a problem for the future generations. So, I mean, the demographic clock is working against the Republicans. But, I mean, I'm more confident in Pennsylvania. I don't think the Kamala campaign has enough steam or even just enough legitimacy to carry it over the finish line. Because all they're doing is just tapping into feminine energy, and those people are already going to turn out for her.
So Kamala's faith story, a loving God, the Good Samaritan, serving others, and a deep respect for all of the faith traditions. So all the faith traditions. So that's not very Baptist. Come on. Do you even Baptist? These experiences, teachings, beliefs, and values, Vice President Kamala Harris grew up with and have shaped her into the leader she is today. Her faith journey started when she was a little girl singing in her children's choir at the 23rd Avenue Church of God in Oakland, California, where she was born and raised. Hold on. Oh, say that again.
Wasn't she like an anchor baby who was like raised in Canada and like she was kind of traveled around as a child?
Well, I know that to me, she definitely was an anchor baby, but and should not be counted as a naturalized citizen. But in no sane nation would count her as a natural born citizen. But here we are. Immigration law in this country is whack. This is where she learned to have faith, a living faith, one that expresses itself through one's life, especially through service to others, particularly the vulnerable and powerless. As she has said, I've learned that faith is not only something we express in church and prayerful reflection, but also in the way we live our lives, do our work, and pursue our respective callings. So again, that's what faith is to her. Faith is, you know, faith without works is dead, but faith,
and this is the fluff
faith piece. And works are pretty distinct. That's why we have sayings like faith without works is dead. To me, it's just a bad way to, you know, you're not going to hear her articulate the gospel. I do think a lot of people who aren't saved can articulate the gospel to some degree, but I don't trust her ability to do that. Just saying. I did want to move on because we do got some clips from their recent event that I do want to share. So I'll get the bookmarks fired up. So I do want to start with Russell Moore of Christianity Today, who I think is running a lot of cover for evangelicals for Kamala Harris. I think he's the embodiment of evangelicals for Kamala Harris. And this is basically what he had to say about Tim Walz and the scandal involving him trying to upplay his military service record.
Over the past couple of days, even some of the most salient of those issues are pretty much off the table. I mean, the 2020 George Floyd riots that Mike mentioned, ABC News now has audio of Donald Trump at the time saying, Tim Walz handling, this is the way you do it. This guy was tough. He's sending in the National Guard. And the conversation has been over the past several days, not that, but really ridiculous kinds of quibbles about his National Guard record when he retired. And I saw this morning that he said he was coach when he was assistant coach, when he took the team to the championship. I mean, you got to get stronger than that if you're going to actually make traction, especially when you're having those kinds of crowds showing up in Wisconsin and Pennsylvania.
Yeah, I mean, I just see that as him running cover for Tim Walz. I think Stolen Valor is kind of a big deal, but...
Well, I mean, especially since he calls it a quibble, and he spends more time talking about the coaching thing, which is... I mean, yeah.
It's not really a quibble since,
I mean, yeah, the Stolen Valor thing is a big deal considering that it was the strings that attached to his commitment because he got promoted to a rank which basically meant that he agreed to serve out a term in the National Guard. And then him by running for Congress and resigning because of the Iraq deployment, that stripped him, that demoted him from his rank. So there was a lot of implications regarding like that decision and the Stolen Valor. And again, it's not like he was going to be seeing like actual combat at his age at the time.
Yeah, I'm not familiar with what the National Guard would do in Iraq.
Well, I mean, him in particular. Oh. But I do think there was some injuries and maybe like one death on under his command, I guess, like of the units that went in his detachment. There was a combat death.
Oh, wow. This is Ekemini Uwan. This is a clip from her, about 2 minutes.
Participate in the voting process with prayer, wisdom, and discernment that causes us to vote in a way that looks out not only for our own interests, but for the flourishing and interests of our neighbors and society as a whole. VP Kamala Harris has been a leader on so many issues that matter to our communities, from advancing the child tax credit, which reduced child poverty by 50% in 2021, something we want to continue to work on together, to ensure that families have access to affordable health care, like low prescription drug prices, contraception, and IVF, issues that evangelicals overwhelmingly support. She also...
Just got to say, evangelicals do not overwhelmingly support IVF, or there's a massive push in evangelicalism to oppose IVF. We might not have the majority on that, but... And the reason why is that, you know, to me, it's like if IVF could be done ethically, that would be one thing. These organizations, you know, the industry just chooses to do it the most unethical way possible.
And let's also just remind people, this is expensive. Like you're talking about, it could be like tens of thousands of dollars to do IVF. It's, and never mind the fact that aside from the sheer cost, a lot of the reasons that people are infertile these days is one, they're delaying these decisions to have children, and two,
seed oils.
I was going to get into that, the poisoned food and water supply.
Yeah.
So, that is damaging people's ability to reproduce.
I don't know if you look. I think everyone in this audience should listen to that Tucker Carlson podcast that he did with the Good Energy people, the memes. That was very enlightening on how we should eat food and stuff like that. I highly recommend that, especially if you're a seed oil disrespecter like myself.
She has also advanced a biblical view of creation care and works to find solutions to the climate crisis and has been an advocate for racial justice, which we all know is rooted in a vision of justice scriptures, which is laid out from Genesis to Revelation. All people are created in the image of God, and Vice President Harris has worked hard to ensure that we achieve policy solutions that reflect these goals. Tonight, you will hear from over 20 leaders about their vision for America, rooted in their devotion to Jesus and the gospel and their support for the Harris-Walz ticket. Tonight, we won't be raising money. Instead, we have this call to action. Pray, pledge, and serve. Throughout the night, we will extend our invitation to you to join our prayer petition for the nation and pledge to serve your local community. The gospel teaches us to love and serve our neighbor, and that is why, as we navigate this tumultuous political climate, we want to get back to the ideals of America. As a country, we have never fully realized these ideals, but this is a chance to return to them. Duty, service, and love of neighbor.
How can you return to something you've never realized?
Join us.
I mean, I heard some smoke alarm chirping in the background. I don't know about you.
That was just you, I think.
I need to get that sound effect on like a soundboard or something.
We don't have a soundboard here. There's like no production value here. That's why you need to sign up for evangelicaldarkweb.org/.
Yes, help us get a soundboard for chirping sounds.
Because I totally have room for that on my desk, but we will make it work. So anyway, that was just pretty cringe. What were the issues that she focused on? Climate creation care is how they brand. You notice how they rebrand climate change to creation care.
Of all the, I guess,
racial justice, IVF.
Yeah, I mean, of all the issues that you can try to subvert evangelicals with, creation care is just not going to catch on.
It's too long.
Except for those that already believe it, because it doesn't necessarily have a verse in the Bible, especially when, scripture clearly teaches that the Lord maintains his creation and sustains it.
Look, they already tried what would Jesus drive to shame people out of driving pickup trucks. It didn't work. So I don't think creation care is going to catch on.
It's too
vague and nebulous. It doesn't do it for me.
Yeah, unless the pastor's already some hyper rabid environmentalists, it's just not going to catch on. But as far as like the whole racial justice stuff, it's just like, yeah, it's just, BLM, racial grievance, racial revenge.
So this next clip comes from Latasha Morrison. So
it is bankrupt of grace. When I look at the platform of the candidates that are before us, when I look at the platform of Trump, it is bankrupt of grace and truth with which this work is built upon. It is bankrupt of compassion. Whoever does not love.
I want to give a quick editor's note is that this Zoom call, the way they cropped this video to record it, they somehow cropped the video. Interestingly enough, and that's why it looks weird. Because I had this thing running, it just didn't record right on my computer, which is very unfortunate. But it looked bad, which was their fault. The recording issues were kind of my fault. But this just worth noting, which is why it looks weird. Like, it looks bootleg because this is a bootleg recording that someone made.
Love does not know God because God is love. I look at which candidate is leading me to love the other. Which candidate is leading us towards compassion? Which candidate is leading us to walk out the Sermon on the Mount, which is the blueprint of love? This verse implies that God's actions, including the gift of grace, stem from his loving nature. Also, look at this work. It's grace as a gift. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9 articulates that grace is a gift from God. For by grace you have been saved through faith and not by yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. This idea that grace is a gift indicates that it is given to us out of love, that is not earned. And so if our grace isn't earned, it's not through any human effort. And so it's important for me in this work that I do, that DEI doesn't become a word that is weaponized and criminalized, because diversity is about all people. Equity sets a pathway for everyone. It's important in this work that I do that the word of wokeness, being awakened to the racial injustice, does not become a criminalized word. It's important in this work that the Imago Dei.
Let's pause there, because that was pretty juicy. Was that not a juicy clip as far
as... It felt like it took her 90...
Not to money shots.
It took her 90 seconds to just spill out what she really wants.
Which
and
is
that's
for...
just taking it from the white man. DEI, take white people's jobs from them. Which I think I saw that, like, white women are the biggest beneficiaries of DEI. And that's
probably... I think it's specifically affirmative action.
And that's probably because of competence.
Now, one thing that people don't point out is that if you're a business owner, they literally stack the decks against white business owners, because if you're black or a woman, you got special Small Business Administration loan programs that you can get that white people cannot get. Just saying. Like, you want to talk about unjust weights and measures in law, and laws that specifically target one group or over another, that is one category that, you know, if you're a minority woman, you got two different loan programs that exist for you.
Yeah, I mean, she literally took, like, DEI is good. No, it's just taking jobs from white men,
and then
that's all DEI is.
She does not want, you know, she does not want DEI to be used in a derogatory way. And to I'm not sure I necessarily talk about this in Winning Not Winsome, but I talk a lot about our use of language. We should be making terms like DEI, you know, insults, terms of derision, because people should feel shame for being DEI or for being a diversity hire. That should come with a stigma until you earn, you know, either earn the right not to be called a diversity hire or quit. Because, you know, we shouldn't have such sinful partiality. And then she wants the term wokeness to be, you know, it shouldn't be used in a negative light. Absolutely it should.
Now keep
in
mind,
sure, the negative light.
Like, her and, like, Eric Mason, who wrote Woke Church, I mean, they define wokeness as double consciousness, which, you know, it basically just means two planks in your own eye while you're looking at your neighbor's speck. And that's all wokeness actually is. But, and then she talked, it's funny how she talked about, like, the criminal justice reforms, which basically just means, you know, taking from other people and getting away with it. Whether it means, you know, taking their life or just taking the stuff from their store shelves. I mean, name one American city that is livable.
Yeah, that's a pretty good point to make. That being said, we got more of this to go through.
And all people is not criminalized because they come from a different country or they speak a different language. God's love is demonstrated through Christ. He expresses the depth of his love and is connected to grace. But God demonstrates his love toward us, and while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Here we see sacrificial act of Jesus and the manifestation of grace rooted in divine love. And I think that is important in this conversation. And I feel that in this race, Representative Vice President.
Just want to be clear to those who are listening on audio, that was a jump cut.
Harris has these qualities. And in the Sermon on the Mount, it says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy.
Super.
Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven." A credible witness, you see, bears a witness to the lifestyle of that of humility and vulnerability. And that is what we see in "Blessed are the pure in spirit." We should always have an attitude of repentance. And I see that more so in Vice President Harris. We should become listeners and learners when we demonstrate our meekness, because meekness is a picture of power and strength under control.
Okay. I got to pause there. I understand Trump does not embody repentance and stuff like that, but does come across as, you know, pretty stupid, you know,
let's just be honest, shameless.
Like if she would not be top of the class if it was 20 other Forrest Gumps in the room. So with that said, is that why we think that she is, you know, demonstrates repentance and an ability to learn and stuff like that, is because she constantly has to be talked to like a kindergartner?
I mean, she's kind of, I mean, she's as shameless as a prostitute.
Yes. And the weird thing is
that Trump's not repented and whatever. Okay, fine. But Trump, I mean, the difference is that Trump's the guy that like bragged about his lifestyle at one point of, you know, fornicating with prostitutes. She is herself the prostitute. That's kind of the difference, if you want to. And I would say that the Trump character in that scenario is better than the shameless prostitute. But so neither is repentant, but, you know, at least, you know, one was successful outside of prostitution
and politics. But yeah. Some might say I repeat myself. Stupid is as stupid does. Exactly. Exactly. Someone gets my Forrest Gump reference. Can't fit Kamala Harris through an eye of a needle. Yeah, I think that's fitting for the occasion.
And I see that in Vice President Harris. I think it's important that we remember this and that we make sure that we are voting with mercy and compassion at the forefront. And what we've seen just over the last year, we've seen the rollback of Roe versus Wade. And I am a person who is pro-life. I am a person that believes in life from the cradle to the grave. But I've seen this weaponized. I've seen this criminalized. I've seen women who have died. And because of that, I can no longer be a one-issue voter.
Lying is a sin.
I'm voting for the candidate that is leading with grace, that is leading with love, that is leading with compassion for the other. And I hope you will do so too. Thank you.
So she ends there by saying that she's totally pro-life, but how dare, you know, women die or get arrested for over abortion?
I mean, I'm surprised she didn't say coat hanger, but some back alley.
She's seen it. She's but let's just be honest. These things. Can she just get her glasses checked for a second? Like, I think she needs to upgrade her prescription because she might be seeing things that aren't happening. She's seeing things that don't exist.
I mean, if you, I don't know if anyone here saw the video that was going around of the mobile, you know, child sacrificing booth that was at the Democrat convention. And if you look at the type of people that walked into that thing, physiognomy is a real science. And those were some ugly women, most of them black. I mean, obviously,
she's pro-life. That's cap, Culture yeah. Dweeb says. That is totally cap. She like was black, capping that hard.
Like the black church is entirely pro-abortion. And especially the women in that church.
Yeah, I think, I mean, statistically, that bears out. And that's why you'll get people like Benjamin Watson, you know, writing fluff pieces that try to, you know, mitigate the responsibility that this would play in the church.
Let me go back to the fact that she was talking about compassion with immigration, because that was where we cut it off.
Okay.
And yeah, you want to take the country that like white people built and give it to someone else. So again, you know, taking from one group of people and giving it to another, that's basically most of their platform. That's most of what why she votes Democrat.
Yeah, I think I want to open up the Democrat Party platform, because I was definitely going to write an article on the first page of the platform, which is Proposition Nation.
Yeah, she got into that too.
My name is Jerusha Duford, and I'm grateful to have an opportunity to join.
Okay, this is Billy Graham's granddaughter, and she is absolutely nails on a chalkboard to listen to. So if you're into pain as well as cringe, Jerusha Duford is for you. Jerusha. I've never heard of that name.
Tonight. Thank you to everyone who joined this call to discuss a pivotal point in our country's future. You know, I was thinking this morning that if you told me 10 years ago that I would be taking an active role in politics, I'd have laughed. But then I had to stop and realize this is so much more than politics. My role began in 2016 when a man bragged about assaulting women. Various leaders of my faith then propped up this man as a poster boy for godly manhood and leadership. This broke my heart as I have watched, quite frankly, for the last 8 years, people who were curious about Jesus and his teachings done a 180 and walked in the other direction from my faith. Isaiah talks about an oak whose leaves wither and a garden going without water. These things happen slowly, over time. First, people professing the Lord made excuses for the lack of kindness, then for the name calling. Soon it was making excuses for assault. Then it became making excuses for January 6th, and now making excuses for convicted assault and 34 felonies. The oak leaves don't wither overnight, and I'm terrified to think of how far this turning our head the other way and making excuses will take our country, but more importantly, our witness to the world. One of my grandfather's favorite verses was Micah 6:8. What an incredible reminder of what the Lord requires of us: to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly. I've always stated that my president doesn't have to be a Christian, but I am and will be watching for my faith leaders support actions that reflect mercy, justice, and humility, and for my faith leaders to rebuke actions that are the antithesis of that. Voting Kamala for me is so much greater than policies. It's a vote against another 4 years of faith leaders justifying the actions of a man who destroys the message Jesus came to spread, and that is why I get involved in politics. I'm a therapist, and I try to leave my clients with what I call committed action steps. And the following are the ones I'd love for you to take with me. First, pray. Pray for the faith leaders in our country to take us.
Can we just take a moment to laugh at her being a therapist and then trying to therapeute her, you know, voting for Biden or voting for Kamala Harris?
I mean, can we just say Trump did never brag about assaulting women? I mean, technically, he bragged about what he could do in a hypothetical situation that was, yes, locker room talk.
And consensual.
Yeah, it was heavily implied that it was consensual because, you know, Donald Trump was just so dripping in the riz.
Yeah, basically.
That women would just do this. And honestly, it reminded me of an actual scene that was on the show Mad Men, where Don Draper did the exact same thing.
People love Don Draper.
But that's essentially what Donald Trump was accused of, talking about what he could do, not what he actually did. He didn't actually say he did said thing on the Hollywood tape. And the other thing was, he was convicted of assaulting a woman who had fantasies about being assaulted by Donald Trump. And that were too spicy.
That was in a civil court, though.
Yes, but
it was not even.
But that's what reference to get you were convicted of assault in court. And yeah, her tales were too spicy for like liberal media.
Yeah, as soon as she started saying that stuff, they even dropped her on like, you know, she said that stuff on like CNN, and then that basically killed her accusations until this lawsuit resurrected her.
Well, I think it was during the lawsuit, but
no, it was early on. Lawsuits take a lot of time. This was pretty early on. I'm trying to find the DNC platform. I'm having trouble here. But let's just go back. Let's finish this nails on a chalkboard
stand
lecture.
For justice, mercy, and humility. Second, pledge. Take the Evangelicals for Harris pledge on our website, evangelicalsforharris.com. And lastly, service. Go perform actions of service in your neighborhood or community, and then come back and share your story with the Evangelicals for Harris campaign. Thanks for listening to me. Let's do this.
Look, people actually pay to listen to her. Can you believe that?
In this day and age, yes. The amount of YouTube ads I see for mental health counseling was just ridiculous, that they flood that stuff. I'm sure she can pick up a client or two from that alone.
Let's see. Do I have any more juicy clips? I don't think I actually do for this. So I'm going to stop sharing for a moment as we get back into live stream mode, I guess. So that's some of what you see out of Evangelicals for Harris. A lot of cringe going on. They look, behind all the cringe is actually some pretty smart strategies. I don't know what states are going to target specifically this cycle, but they have money. They have cachet with the media. They have Christian media in their pockets, specifically Christianity Today.
And they get a weekly New York Times article for free.
Yeah, from David French. So the idea that this is just going to get, you know, it's just going to be so cringeworthy, it's not going to be taken seriously. Well, maybe she won't be, these people won't be taken seriously, but they're going to spend money and manipulate algorithms and stuff like that. That's basically what they talked about in previous conversation. Specifically, that's what Jim Ball was talking about. So I want to get into the DNC a little bit. Michelle Obama said something that was just, again, they're not even trying to hide.
There's something they're not trying to hide, all right? If we're thinking about the same clip that...
We might not be speaking of the same clip. So here's Michelle Obama, and it gets back to the idea that the Democrat Party is pushing the Proposition Nation hard.
Oh, this clip, not the IBF clip about Michelle Obama.
All of our contributions deserve to be accepted and valued. Because no one has a monopoly on what it means to be an American. No one.
So that is Michelle Obama saying that Americans don't have the right to decide who is and is not American. Your thoughts on that clip?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, you know, sell out America so you can have more ethnic foods in your neighborhood. And say
we can get the recipes.
And then improve upon said recipes.
I do got to say... I'm trying to find this actual... Is there a text to the actual platform? Okay, here we go. Here we go. The DNC party platform. I guess we can kind of end the live stream going through this. Put your requests in the chats for what you want to know they believe about what issue. Wrong one. We're going to share this tab. Our preamble. Let's see. So the first page is a land acknowledgement. So already off to a pretty bad start. Then we get into economic vision. So let's see. Our nation is at an inflection point. What kind of America will we be? A land of more freedom or less, more rights or fewer? An economy rigged for the rich and powerful, or where everyone has a fair shot at getting ahead? So that's in there.
Yeah, I mean, who's responsible for making it an economy of the rich getting ahead and the poor being poorer?
Now, is this
like who's responsible for squeezing the middle class?
This is the 2024 platform. All right, so let me see this. President Biden, 16 million jobs. Let's go with the trans. Let's do the trans. It does not say that. Okay, we got a lot of hits. Oh, wow. They go with an I. This is the official acronym of the Democrat Party is LGBTQI. So they are all over this. In 2012, the Democrat Party platform added that they wanted to transgender kids. Because you have to understand when they say supporting, you know, youth in that category, they talk a lot about doing that. The fight for equality is far from over. They continue to face attacks and bigotry in states across the country. The Democrat Party is committed to protecting their rights. Trump rolled back the gay rights community fought hard for, gutted Obama, Biden anti-discrimination policies. A person be called married. This is just very long. What do we got? Democrats will continue to fight for gay youth by building on President Biden's historic actions to ban so-called conversion therapy, protecting children from bullying and discrimination, and guaranteeing that transgender students are treated with fairly and respect at school. It talks about vigorously oppose state and federal bans on gender-affirming care. So, yeah, they talk about turning youth into science experiments in their platform. Let's do... Okay, we got affirmative action. Let's look up what it says about affirmative action. Let's see. Really? Only four hits on diversity.
That's biodiversity.
That's
biodiversity.
Climate leadership, diversity again. Interesting how they do not. Biden's second term. So this is not, this can't be the new platform because it's referencing, this has got to be a previous. Yeah, that can't be the previous platform. What's their actual platform? So because I'm having a hard time thinking that they would include Biden's second term, that they would talk about Biden's second term, a platform dedicated to Kamala Harris. Does that make sense to you?
No, unless it was just a typo that they had in.
Not a typo. It was perfectly typed. It was an oversight. So I don't know. So maybe we'll talk about that another time, but we have a last call for questions. Overextend our stay here, but in the meantime, there is something I want to share, and that comes from just something that was hilarious that was posted earlier. Actually, one more, a couple things going on. Let's see. Let's get to this. Megan Basham's book has an honest trailer out, and I wanted to share that because this is absolutely hilarious. If you're on the Evangelical Dark Web newsletter, you would have seen this because I promoted this in the newsletter. So on YouTube, there's an entire category called Honest Trailers. This is the honest trailer for Megan Basham's book.
In a world where political division is even higher than Snoop Dogg. One journalist sets out to investigate financially dubious corporate and political meddling in the evangelical voting bloc and accidentally discovers a borderline conspiracy by left-wing elites and corporations influencing and manipulating their evangelical elite pawns to morally bankrupt Christians into complying with their agenda so they can win future elections and achieve global domination. Nope. This isn't the plot of the next Jason Bourne. This is real life, people. Shepherds vs. Hale. How evangelical leaders traded the truth for a leftist agenda. Man, that's a long title. Starring climate czar Gavin Nuance Orland, Ed Litton, Russell French, Bob the Tomato, Tim Keller's ghost, the president of the ERL, hold on. The former president of the... No, wait. The un-former president? Just make up your minds and fire him. And so many more. Shepherds vs. Hale. Long subtitle. New York Times bestseller, huh? That's gotta make a certain aforementioned Frenchman real happy.
And for those that don't know, like, Honest Trailers is a thing on YouTube. So yeah, they actually got the style and the tone down.
They nailed that.
Yes.
That is an excellent parody. So can your book be ordered now? Yes. The paperback is available pre-order. The Kindle is available. But, you know, subscribers can get the... I'll ship a copy to subscribers of a certain tier. Of the Zealot or Peacemaker. They can get that. Ship to them, no extra charge. I'll cover all the shipping and handling. And apparently USPS is actually pretty expensive to ship these days. So, anything coherent to say about combating inflation? Probably not.
I want to pull this up. Because this was earlier said in the chat. We need legitimate right wing environmentalism, not scams designed to control.
Okay, so I want to change. If we can change the word environmentalism, I believe in conservation and stuff like that. Environmentalism, I believe, frames the issue in such a way that man exists to serve the environment, not the environment exists to serve man. But conservation, I think, is probably the word we should use. But I agree, you know, conservation is good.
It's important to also note there is the meme that, you know, people in the cities tell people in the country how to live. And like the people that live in like the countryside, those rustic people are more environmentally conscious than their urban counterparts. So it's like the conservative people are naturally more environmentally conscious than liberals. It's just that they don't virtue signal by banning plastic bags and plastic straws, even though they use single-use K-cups, which are plastics. So, we do, like, environmental conservation is important. The idea of improving water supply instead of, like, again, there's the whole stat about fluoride reducing IQ by 2 to 5 points. And making people dumber. And of course, you know, the whole Alex Jones, you know, they're turning the frogs gay is actually reality.
So, right. Man, and of course, it's fascinating. When I said that under Christian nationalism, we will ban fluoride from the water supply, people like, you want all everybody's teeth to fall out? I'm like, are you kidding me? Like, not everywhere has fluoride in the water, first of all. Like, not even all city, like, if you have well water, you obviously don't have it. Well, but not even all city water has it. I have city water. I've tested my water. It does not have fluoride in it. Well, and the annual report that they give also says it doesn't have fluoride in it.
I mean, the reason they say you're not supposed to swallow toothpaste is because of the fluoride in the toothpaste.
My children use fluoride-free toothpaste, and I feel like a good dad, even though I have nothing to do with that.
But even another issue. But
the bad side of that is it has Paw Patrol in the toothpaste bottle, and Paw Patrol is just cringe.
And another issue on environmentalism is the whole car thing, where Trump is actually running on rolling back the environmental regulations. And I think Ford just announced that they're canceling a lot of their EV projects, which perhaps is a real signal that, you know, they're maybe backing Trump a little bit.
Well, I don't think they're anticipating.
Yeah, they can't compete, but they might be signaling anticipation of the Trump administration rolling back these federal regulations. Like, a lot of that is on the state level, because a lot of states are following the lead of California, Maryland being one of them, Virginia being another.
I want to say, like, Ford is like a zombie company. Like, they can exist to pay off the interest on their liabilities, but they really aren't doing, they're not that healthy of a company. Like, a lot of these companies that, you know, are pretty majors, like, they're not in that healthy of a shape. They can pay off the interest on their liabilities, but they have no ability to pay off their liabilities, stuff like that. Yes, is USPS expensive even for media mail? Look, I was shipping a book, 11.4 ounces. It costs like $7.
That's media mail?
I don't know. I got one of these cushiony envelopes. Mm-hmm. So, but I don't think that affects it, because I had to pay for the envelope separately. Like, it's like $9 to ship these things, but I don't care, but because it's all in the expense account. So the expense account has enough money to float this, obviously, but still. Now, I was expecting cheaper shipping rates. But anyway, I don't know if there's anything else to say. I don't know if you have anything to plug.
I mean, I got two articles out. One is the NAM article. Basically, I take a look at what their financials are. And the big takeaway is that they're not too big to fail. That's kind of, you know, using the banking term, too big to fail, except, you know, NAM is not actually too big to fail. And their cooperative program contributions were rather stagnant last year, or for fiscal year 2023, which, I mean, technically we're coming up on their fiscal year runs in line with the government's fiscal year. So it ends in September. And despite the stock market returning 20% from September, or from October of 2022 to September 30th of 2023, their stock portfolio actually dipped, which was not my anticipation for what would happen with NAM.
So they either suck at investing in the stock market, or...
Well, they're draining their investments faster than those investments are able to recoup.
Okay, so they're selling.
Yes, they're net selling their assets. And that's to pay for their expenses. So they got a lot of bloat, or they aren't making enough revenues at the top end. So again, not too big to fail is kind of the headline there.
Well, too big to fail was that they're so important that they can't fail. They mustn't fail. But in this case, you're suggesting that this is a house of cards. And I suggest that in Winning Not Winsome, that the North American Mission Board is a house of, it could be a house of cards that is not as financially sound as it appears.
I mean, technically, if they undergo another 2022, like, fiscal year where they have to sell, where they lose like $60 million in investments, that would be bad for them. Because they need at least $40 million to cover their pension liabilities, and perhaps a little bit more because they have donor money that's like tied, and they have to keep that money. So that's restricted.
Here we go. Will there be live next week? Yes, that is the plan in perpetuity, I guess. Unless otherwise stated, I will do that. And if you sign up for the Evangelical Dark Web newsletter, I usually put out an announcement on a Thursday live stream. And you can get that announcement there. Last thing to plug, I guess. So anyway, have a blessed night. Stay based. Christ is king. And we will.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.